chapter, the last chapter of Revelation, the last chapter of the Bible. So we can finish it up today and you can go home and forget about it, right? No, not really. But here we are, chapter 22. We spent quite some time going through the book of Revelation. I think it's been fascinating to see, to understand exactly what the Lord has in store for us, especially these last few chapters where we've looked at heaven, what it's going to be, and how we can prepare to go there, and how we can anticipate it. We were talking about that even in Sunday school this morning, anticipating eternity, and having that in our minds and hearts, something to look forward to. You know, it's always great to be able to do that, isn't it? Something that you can look forward to that is enjoyable. And it's especially interesting to read here about heaven and what awaits the believer there. I read an article by Ron Barris. He had talking about heaven. He says, the glory of heaven, you can put into six words. Okay? The six words are, with him, with them, and like him. That's simple enough, isn't it? Okay. Over in 1 Thessalonians, hold your place in Revelation. We'll be back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the section about the rapture. And verse 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Okay. So God's going to bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. And we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. Okay. And then over in 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So there we have it. We're going to... We're going to be with him, with them, and like him, like Jesus. We'll have a body like unto his. So that's what heaven is going to be like. We don't know all of the symbols and so forth that we've been reading about here in Revelation. We know it's going to be a beautiful place. It's going to be wonderful. There's plenty of room for everyone. And we are looking forward to that. And here in the beginning of chapter 22, the first five verses finish this up. We saw it in chapter 21. And now this the new paradise is described here in these first few verses. So let's read verses 1 to 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that we can read your word and think about heaven and what it is. And we pray, dear Father, that each and every one of us might have that assurance in our hearts that this is our final home. Lord, we pray that you'd work in every one of us and give us that assurance and that victory in Christ, that we might not have doubts and fears. We might trust in the Lord Jesus with all of our hearts. And we just thank you for all that you have prepared for us. We do want to pray this morning, our Father, for those who are in special need. We think of Jim Elsmore. We pray that he would recover from this Lyme disease. We pray for Ollie Razor, that he might soon show some improvement in his condition. And we pray for Javier Ruiz, that he would also improve and soon be up and around again and pastoring the churches where he has been working. We pray for others too, our Father. We know that we all have our problems and difficulties, and you know the heavy hearts that may be here today. And we pray, Lord, that you would meet every need and help us to put our faith and trust in you completely and look to you for each and every need that we have. Thank you again for your word. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. So we see here about the new paradise. Eden, of course, was the earthly paradise where God placed Adam and Eve and where everything was perfect. Before they sinned, they had a perfect environment. And they could eat of all the trees of the garden and so forth, except, of course, for the one that God told them not to eat of. And it was a real paradise for them until the day that they disobeyed God. And that's when everything fell apart, right? And now we have a world that has been cursed by sin. We have sinful natures and all of them. But the new paradise will be absolutely perfect with no more possibility of contamination, no more possibility of sin. That's almost mind-boggling, isn't it, to think about that? To live in a place where there's no sin? My goodness, might that be something? And God is going to be in control, absolutely, and we will be with him and enjoy his presence. It speaks here of the river of the water of life, clear as crystal. You know, we had rivers in Eden. It said there was a river went out and it came out into four different forks. But here we have the river of the water of life, eternal life, clear as crystal, coming forth from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And you notice how many times these two are mentioned, right? God Almighty, the Father, and Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, right? And the throne of God, the throne of the Lamb, the water is coming forth from that. So this is something God is providing. Now, as I say, it may be symbolical in a sense, but it's showing that God is going to make full provision to meet your need. You know, water is something essential to life, isn't it? And here we have this crystal river flowing from the throne of God to give life to all. So it's a wonderful picture to us. Then we see the tree of life. Again, in the Garden of Eden, you remember there was the tree of life that Adam and Eve could have eaten from and lived forever if they had not sinned against God. See? He told them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could have eaten of the tree of life and lived on and on, okay? But they chose to sin. But here we see the tree of life will be in the new paradise as well. And in the midst of the street of it, it says, here they have this picture of this city with the street flowing, running down the center, and the tree of life on either side. Now, there's a difference of opinion as to whether this is one big tree or something that's on both sides or if it's a whole row. I tend to think it probably would be a row of trees, you know, along the side of a river. You see those, right? And at any rate, it's something to give enjoyment and life. There's a different fruit every month. That sounds like what? Some kind of a prize. What do you think? Fruit of the month. How about that? No. Anyway, now that has nothing to do with this. Anyway, I got your attention, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The tree of life, it bears all 12 different kinds of fruit once each month. So you got all these different wonderful flavors and so forth. And it says the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Now, what this means, I'm not quite sure. They say that this, the word healing here, it has to do with being therapeutic. In other words, everything is healthy, right? There's no sickness. When we think of healing, we usually think you have to be healed from something. But this is the idea here is that you're always well. There's no sickness. There's no illness. And here it has the picture of the tree of life that gives healing, the leaves for the healing of the nations. And when it says nations, I mean, it sounds like there's going to be nations living on the earth, right? It sounds like it. And so we were talking about that in Sunday school also this morning. God created a new heavens and a new earth. Must have been some reason, right, for the new earth. And He cleansed, this earth is called cleansed away, and we have a new earth that is absolutely perfect, and we will have people living here. And it's interesting to see all these things. And then we see the fullness of the life here in the presence of the Lord forever. There will be no more curse. God put a curse upon the earth because of man's sin. Right? The thorns and the thistles and all of that make it difficult to earn a living because of all of these things that have happened, the curse that fell because of sin. But there'll be no more curse. It's all gone. And as Karen was singing, no more night. Huh? We have always, it's always light, you know. And apparently no reason to sleep, I guess. And wake up and enjoy everything. And we'll actually see His face, it says, the Lord. Now, it makes you wonder about that. Who is He talking about here? I think we'll see Jesus, won't we? Because He's the manifestation of all the Godhead bodily. God is a spirit. Now, maybe there'll be some way we'll be able to see Him. I don't know. Perhaps. But we know we'll see the Lord Jesus. He will be there and ruling and reigning, and we will enjoy His presence, and His name will be in our foreheads. That is, we are identified with Him. That we belong to the Lord Jesus. There'll be no need for any other life because God Himself gives forth the life. And we shall reign forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? That sounds good to me. I'm looking forward to that. Now we come to the last message in the Bible, or the several different messages that I mentioned here till the end of the chapter. The first one is the message of the Savior to His servants. And what He says, if you look in verse 6, and He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And then Jesus says, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So three different times, Jesus says, Behold, I come quickly. Here in verse 7, if you look in verse 12, he says, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So you see, works are important. They don't save you, but they help you to receive a reward. And then verse 20, excuse me, He which testified these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. All right. So here, Behold, I come quickly. Jesus is saying here, and what does he mean, quickly? The word quickly doesn't mean it's going to happen right away. But it means that we've just studied through the book of Revelation, right? We've seen all the events that are going to take place at the end time. The tribulation period and Christ comes back and all this. That's what he means. Once this gets started, he's going to do it quickly. The whole tribulation period is only 7 years, and the last half is the worst part, right? 3.5 years. So Jesus is telling these people, I am coming quickly, I'm coming suddenly, swiftly. It doesn't mean he's coming soon. Because when he told this to John, obviously, he didn't come right away because it's been quite a while, hasn't it? But when all these things begin to come to pass, he says, look up and lift your eyes up because your redemption is drawing near, right? So that's what he's talking about here. I'm coming swiftly once these things are set into motion. So he promises here that there'll be no delay about his coming. And he promises blessing for the obedience to his word. Back in verse 7 again, it says, Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We read in chapter 1 that there's a special blessing to those who read and obey this book. And here in the last chapter, he repeats it again. So, it behooves us, really, to read and study and understand as much as possible the book of Revelation. There's a special blessing there for us, especially in the times in which we live. Because we know not when Jesus is coming, but it could be at any time. So he says, Blessed is the one who keeps the prophecy of this book. So we need to read and study and obey. Obedience is the key, isn't it? Not only just to read and look at it, but let's put it into practice as best we can. Then also he promises a reward, as we saw in verse 12. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. All right, so if we serve the Lord faithfully, then he has a reward for us. If we slack off and do nothing, you lose your reward, right? So he says, I'm coming, prepare yourself, and be faithful. Serve the Lord. That's what he's saying. Now Jesus identifies himself here in verse 13. Notice. Some of the same things that we saw at the very beginning of the book is still true at the end. He says in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's identifying himself. He's the very beginning, the Alpha, the Omega, the A and the Z. He is, and everything in between. God is encompassing it all. And Jesus here is claiming the same prerogative as his Father. Over in the first chapter, we saw God Himself said, I am the Alpha and Omega. And here Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. So He is one with the Father. And He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So, we need to put our faith and trust in Him. Then in verse 16, He says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. So here we have some other identifying qualities of Christ. He's the root of David, you know. He came as the son of David, the one who followed a descendant, one who was qualified to be the king of the Jews because he was a son of David in that sense. So there's the root, and the offspring, rather. He is David's son, but he's also David's Lord. He explained that in another place. You know, it's, he was telling the people, he says, why do you say the Messiah, you know, is the son of David when he's the Lord? He said, the Lord said unto my Lord, David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, this day have I begotten thee. So Jesus is both. He's human and he's divine, isn't he? He's the one and only unique person, the Son of God and the Son of Man. And then he says, he's the bright and morning star. You know, the first star you see in the morning is that, you know, the morning star. They say it's probably the planet Venus or something that you see up there in the sky. And Jesus says that this, I am the bright and the morning star. He's the light that shines. I am the light of the world, he says. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. So all of these identifying qualities of Jesus speak of his character, who he is, and the character that we should have, right? Because we are to be a reflection of who he is in this world. This is our duty, actually, our responsibility. He said in one place, I am the light of the world. And then he told his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Okay? So we need to radiate the light of Christ to our friends and neighbors and those around us that they might realize who he is. That's why we're here, is to be witnesses for his namesake, looking forward to the day that we will be in his presence. Then we see the message of the Spirit to the sinner. Now this is a warning again. The most important thing is that a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior so that they will not suffer for eternity, but enjoy heaven, eternal life. And here we find in verse 17, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, who's the bride? The bride's church, isn't it? Okay. So the Holy Spirit and the bride, church, say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So what's that saying to us? That's saying that anyone who wants to come to Christ can come. Right? Whosoever will may come. Right? And drink of the water of life. Enjoy all that God has for you. That life-giving liquid, or whatever you want to call it. The Spirit of God is calling people, come, come, come. And it's up to the individual to answer that call. and to come to Him. This is the invitation. Come to Christ. The church echoes it to those that need to come to Him. Look with me just for a verse over in Isaiah 55. We find the prophet Isaiah has a word to say here. Isaiah 55. I should have marked it. Okay. Here it is. And verse 1. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Okay. So Isaiah here is saying, come and drink of the water of life. Come, buy milk and wine without money and without price. Come and eat the delicacies that God has provided for you. But you have to come. That's the reason we invite folks to come to Christ, to trust in Him. Because without Him, we have nothing. There's no water. There's no food from God if we don't put our faith and trust in Him. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. And we must come to Him. Whoever will can come and receive the Lord Jesus. And then it says, we need to receive God's Word as it is given. Notice this in verse 18. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Now, I don't know about you, but that says to me that we're not to tamper with the Word of God. You know? He said what He meant. He meant what He said. And we should accept it and obey it, follow what He tells us, and not try to change it, you know? Say, "Well, I don't like that. I don't like that." You know? That's like Earl was talking about before. This person says, you know, God didn't really mean what He said, you know, about this same-sex thing. I think He meant exactly what He said. And we would do well to be obedient to what we understand. You might say, "Well, I don't understand some things." Well, okay. But what you do understand, then be sure you are doing it. Because He says it's a very serious thing to change God's Word to suit yourself. You know? You say, "Oh, well, you know, times have changed." That was 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. You know, we live in a new world today, right? So we don't have to follow this anymore. Well, not a good idea. God meant what He said, and He said what He meant, and here we have it. So we need to obey Him. And then the last thing we have here is the response of the saints to the Savior. Very simply, here in verse 20, Jesus said, "He saith which..." Here I go. "He which testifieth these things saith," there it is, "Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." There it is. See, this is what the saints say back to Christ. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And certainly that should be our attitude, that we would be crying out to the Lord, you know, "Lord, come. Come. We need you. We want to have things better. We want to see you. We want to love you. We want to do your will. And come. come, Lord Jesus. Take us home to be with you. And the last verse says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is the conclusion of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. And certainly we need the grace of God today, as we do every day, right? But may His grace always be upon us, upon our people. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word to our hearts today. We just pray that we would be obedient to you, Lord. Help us not to forget the things that we read and study in your word. And help us to be obedient to you, to walk in fellowship, to honor and magnify you, and to be a good witness, and to be a light to those that are in darkness, that Christ, our blessed Savior and Redeemer, might be glorified in our lives. And we pray, Lord, for this church. We ask you, Lord, to send us a great revival and help us to reach out to others and to bring in more people. Bless in everything that we do, that we would honor and exalt you in all things. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in his name. Amen.